Bibles, if you will, please. To our hearts, but 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me read that again. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to preach this morning on this thought, open up, open up. Now, in society today, sometimes you will hear people say to someone else, you need to open up. And what they're really saying is this, it means that you need to open up, you need to tell the whole story. Also, it can mean you need to tell how you really feel. You need to express your feelings. But this morning, I want to take this thought, open up in a different direction. I want this morning for us to look at this term, open up, and realize the importance of opening up the Word of God. I read something the other day, and it said this, that one of the greatest dangers in a Christian's life is when they fail to open the Word of God on a daily basis. You've often heard the statement that sometimes you walk in, and the dust, the dirtiest thing, or the one thing with the most dust in a home is the Bible. I mean, I realize today that we are a busy people, but I also realize we are a needy people. And the greatest way to fulfill the need that we have is through the Word of God. And so as we open up the Word of God, we do this to get what God wants us to get. God has a plan for every one of us. If we're going to open the Word of God and receive from God what God has for us, we must, number one, have an open mind. We can't have a closed, a fixed mind. There are a lot of people that read the Word of God, but they already have their mind set. It's closed, and they're not going to believe what the Bible said. I used as an illustration some weeks ago that Brenda and I knew a man, and concerning the coming, the return of the Lord Jesus, he made this statement. He said, I know the Bible says it, but I'm not going to believe it. What are you saying, preacher? He had already closed his mind to the Word of God instead of opening his mind and allowing God. But we must have an open mind. We must have an open heart. We must have our heart open to allow God to put truth in. And we must have an open spirit. That is an attitude that we are willing for the Word of God through the direction of the Holy Spirit of God to teach us. You're going to find out some things in this book are different than what you've thought all your life. There are a lot of things you believe today that are nothing more than tradition. People say the Bible said that all roads lead to Rome. Give me chapter and verse and book. It's not there. You've heard people make that statement. I've heard people say the Bible said that the tub, a tub sits on its own bottom. It's not there. But I mean, people are saying stupid things about the Word of God because they're open to tradition, but they're not open to truth. So we must have an open mind, an open heart, and an open spirit, because a closed mind, a closed heart, and a closed spirit will keep us from seeing and accepting the biblical truth that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. But I want to look this morning in the Word of God, and from the Word of God, I want to help you to see some things about the Bible that will help you and me both to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that is the will of God for every believer. The Bible said that God's will is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. And to do this, we've got to have an open Bible. We've got to also allow the Holy Ghost of God to lead us. We're going to have to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to put aside what I think's right and allow you to teach me what's right. The reason there's so much confusion in the church today is because people are not willing to accept the truth of the Word of God. But the first thing we find about the Word of God that will help us, and you must believe this if you're going to get the truth, and that is that the Word of God is inspired by God. Notice what Timothy said about this. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, he didn't say some Scripture. He didn't say part of the Scripture. He said all Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the Bible is inspired by God. And what that simply means is inspiration means an act of breathing. Inspiration is an act of breathing. And so when the Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, let me bring it over in a literal literal way of saying it. God breathed the Word of God. The Word of God is God breathed. Now notice what Peter said about the Word of God. He said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter said, Paul said, it's inspired, it's breath, it is a very God-breathed word. And Peter followed up and said, it came not in old time by the will of man. What that simply means is this. The Scriptures were not written by men who use their own words and ideas. And we will see this later in the message. People say, well, men just sit around and they thought these things up and they wrote them. No, that Peter said that it came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God. Those holy men are men that God set aside for this very purpose, and it was a purpose of speaking to them that they would write down the Word of God. And they spake, or they wrote, as they were moved. And that word moved by the Holy Ghost, it means to be carried along as a ship is carried by the winds. That ship's out there, the wind's blowing, and the sails are up. That boat, that ship is guided and moved by the wind. These men were moved by the Holy Ghost as they wrote down the Word of God. I mean, the Scriptures are God-breathed. They're not the inventions of men. I mean, this book is an inspired book. I don't have any problem saying the Bible is the Word of God. There's not a doubt in my mind. I know that I know that I know that God breathed these words. He spoke these words to men, and men penned down exactly what they heard. You got to have an open mind to receive that. If you've already set your mind to say the Bible is partially true, you're wrong. The Bible is complete truth. But Paul said that all Scripture is given by inspiration. And Peter said it's not by the will of man. So we see that as we open this book, we need to have this mindset and this heart set, and the very intention of getting what God said. And we look at it and we say, okay, this is God's letter to me. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to study this, and I'm going to allow God to speak to me and direct me. Now, what did Paul say earlier? I read to you, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice some things in that verse. Number one, we study not to debate. We don't study to say, well, I know more than you know. But we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We study that we might be used of God, that we might have the knowledge of the Word of God, that God could use us for His honor and for His glory. It's also, we study, it said, that a workman needeth not to be ashamed. You know, there are a lot of people today that need to be ashamed of what they know about this book. We've got men and women been saved for 30, 40 years that know nothing about the Word of God. Why is it? They failed to open the book. They can tell you about every magazine that comes through the mail. They give you all the stories that headline those magazines. But they cannot tell you anything about the Word of God. And to me, he said here, you do this that you need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What causes confusion is people trying to divide the Word of God, trying to explain the Word of God, that know nothing about the Word of God. We ought to be ashamed if we're not opening the book. Thursday night, Brenda and I, Brother Jim and Sister Andra, we went down to the, used to be the Gwinnett Center. Dr. David Jeremiah was having a stand-up 2016 event there. But as I sat there, I began to think about this, and it really bothered me. And that wasn't in the beginning of my ministry. I failed to study the Word of God as I should have studied it. I didn't have anybody at that time to direct me and instruct me and teach me how to study. I'm grateful that over the years I've met men that have taught me, and the last few years I've been in the Word of God, studying the Word of God and getting from the Word of God what God had. But I sat there and I thought, you know, the only difference between me and Dr. Jeremiah is Dr. Jeremiah knew how to study from the beginning. But I'm grateful today that God has allowed me to set under men. But in my beginning ministry, I was not able to really open the Word of God. Whose fault is it? Mine. But I want to challenge you, and I want to burn in your heart and in your mind the urgency and the necessity to open the Word of God every day. That's why last year, 2015, our push was to read the Bible completely through. It wasn't that you could get a Bible. It wasn't that you could get a certificate. It was a fact that I wanted you to know what thus saith the Word of God, that you could rightly divide the Word of God. The Bible said that we need to build precept upon precept. You've got to know the Word of God completely to build truth. You can tear truth down by using one verse and leaving other verses out. But it's an inspired book. But not only is it an inspired book, it's a sure book. Notice what Peter said about the Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2 or chapter 1 in verse 19. Peter said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And that sure means it is unchanging. How many times have you seen a book out here on the market and it has on it revised? What they've done, they've upgraded it. They've updated it. But I'm grateful today that the Word of God doesn't need any revising. The Word of God doesn't need any changing. It's a sure book. It is an unchanging book. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye heed it. Again, you open the Word of God, not to argue with the Word of God, but you open it and study it and read it. And then you say, Lord, show me what needs to change in my life. We need to take heed to it. What it's saying is we need to pay attention. We need to know what it said and accept it as it said. But why, how do you know, preacher, that it's such a sure book? Let me give you some proof. Notice here, it said that it's a sure word of prophecy. One of the very truths to prove that a book is true is its fulfilled prophecy is a proof of inspiration, because a scripture of future events were uttered so long before the event transpired. These predictions are so detailed and specific as to exclude the possibility that they were mere guesses. There's not a man, woman, boy, or girl alive today that could have made the predictions or tell the truth and give the prophecy that God gave hundreds and hundreds and hundreds years ago, and them come to pass exactly like God said it. I mean, I said here, they are so detailed and they're so specific to exclude the possibility that they were mere guesses. Let me give you a couple of examples. We look at the nation of Israel, and we see throughout the history of Israel that God told them, said, if you sin against me, I'll put you in judgment. And he predicted through his men that they would go into 400 years of captivity in Egypt. What happened? They went in 400 years of captivity there in Egypt. But we not only look at the nation of Israel, let's look at something that you and I can relate to, and that's the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, he didn't say it the day before Mary was found with child. He said it 750 years before in the book of Isaiah. He said, I'm going to give you a sign that a babe shall be born of a virgin. I mean, he said, this is exactly how it's going to happen. He told them where he'd be birthed. Then we find in the book of Matthew there, as Joseph talked with the angel, we find in the book of Luke that said they went down to pay their taxes, and the time came for her to bring forth a son. And so there we see, he said, not only is a virgin going to bring forth a child, she is going to bring forth a son. And that day, Mary gave birth to a baby boy, and called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God made that it happen exactly like he said. So detailed. God spoke to John the Baptist's dad and said, your wife is going to have a son, and you shall call his name John. When John the Baptist was born, the family began to try to name him. And Zachariah, his dad, said, no, his name shall be called John. So detailed. Not only do we see it in the virgin birth and the birth of John the Baptist, we see it in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Jesus wasn't the first to prophesy of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But it happened exactly like he said. He died there on the cross, was buried, and what happened on the third day? He resurrected victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Word of God is a sure book, and it's proven. Its inspiration, it's God-given, is proven by its prophecies. How many times do we hear men make predictions, then they have to change them? That's really what your weather people do. They make predictions. It's going to rain tomorrow. It don't rain. You know what that says to me? They're not prophets. They're guessers. But I'm saying to you, the Word of God is not a book of guesses. The Word of God is a book that is a prophecy given by God. Notice what the Bible says about the Word of God. In Psalms 19, verse 7, it said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I mean, the psalmist said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It is unchanging. Psalm 93, 5 said, thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Psalms 111, verse 7 says, the work of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. I love the way the psalmist said it. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Thy testimonies are very sure. His commandments are sure. And then in Psalm 119 and verse 89, notice what he said there. He didn't say for some time, but he said forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Why is it important that we study the Word of God? Why is it important that we open it up is that God might open our hearts and our minds to truth and teach us exactly what God said, and we can accept it knowing that it's never going to change. It's here forever. It's for sure. I don't know what Brother Buck taught in Sunday school today, but I guarantee you this, what he taught today will be the same tomorrow. It's not going to change. What I preached last week on the resurrection will be the same next Easter. He got up. He's alive and alive forevermore. Well, won't they have to go back and rewrite it when he found out he's dead? No, because you know why? He's not dead. He's alive and alive forevermore. How do you know that, preacher? Because God sent it down to mankind to print it and write it down and say on the third day he shall resurrect. And on that third day, as they went there to the grave, the men there, the angels said, why look you among the dead? Why are you looking here? He's not here. Why look for the living among the dead? He is alive. And he's alive forevermore. We need to open it because it's not only inspired, it's a never changing, it's a sure book. Not only that, we look at it because it's a useful book. Now you and I read things that are not very useful. By that I mean we can't really apply them to our life and it helps us. Now, I don't know about you, I've always enjoyed sports. The one part of the paper I'm going to read is the sports section. You know how useful that is to me? It's about the truth. It's not really useful to me. I just like it. But when I open this book, I open up the Word of God, I expect to get things from this book that's going to be useful in my life, that's going to help me to become who God wants me to be. That sports section's not going to help me become who God wants me to be. Reading the front page is not going to help me to really grow spiritually. But reading the Word of God will help me. It's useful. It's profitable. Notice what Paul said. After he said all scripture is given by inspiration God and is profitable. And what that word means is helpful and useful. Am I saying it's wrong to read books that are not the Bible? No. But I'm saying it's wrong to read them and not read this. Open up the Word of God. I encourage you, I challenge you to open up the Word of God every day. I mean, it will help us get through the day. It's profitable. It's useful. Notice what Paul said, that it's profitable for doctrine. What he's saying there, it's profitable. What is right? Now, doctrine is a principle of belief. It's instruction. If you ask me, what do we believe as a church? I am going to give you our statement of faith. What is that? That is our doctrinal beliefs. It's a principle that we have built this ministry upon. Where did those principles come from? They came from the Word of God. When we say there in the statement of faith, we say we believe in the inspired Word of God. What we're saying is we believe this book is God-breathed. When we say that we believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, we are saying we believe exactly what the Bible says, the very way the Bible said it happened. Why? Because that is what is right. Well, don't you think it could have happened another way? No, I do not. Well, don't you have an open mind? I sure do. I have an open mind to truth. What is truth? The Word of God. But it's useful. What it does, it teaches me the truths and the principles of God. It teaches me what is right for my life. It teaches me what is right to talk about and say to others concerning spiritual matters. It's useful, it's profitable for doctrine. People say, well, I don't understand all those things that you have written down as a statement of faith. Get in the book. Open it up. Read the Word of God and let God show you what is right. Not only is it useful for doctrine, it's profitable, useful for reproof, for what is not right. Now, we don't really mind the first part, but when it comes profitable for reproof, useful, what is not right, what that simply means is it will reprimand, it will rebuke, it will admonish. What it'll do, it'll show us where we're wrong. People don't like biblical preaching because what it does, it shows them what is not right. It's useful to help me to know when I'm right with God or not right with God. I say the Bible is like a mirror. It shows you the true reflection. Like I believe Brenda read something to me about a woman looking in a mirror, and she said, I just don't understand this mirror. Said the woman on the other side looks so old. That's why people don't like the Word of God. They don't admit truth. You know what the mirror does? The mirror shows us who we really are. And the Word of God shows us who we really are. It's useful for reproof, to show us what is not right, to reprimand us, to rebuke us, to show us that, hey, you are walking incorrectly. You are living in sin. It's useful for reproof. Somebody comes to me and says, what I'm doing, is it wrong? What does the Bible say? The Bible will tell you whether it's right or wrong. But it's a useful book, and it's profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction. Not only will it show you what's right, not only will it show you what is not right, but I like it because it'll show you how to get right. Going back to an open mind, an open heart, an open attitude, spirit, you're not going to get right till you want to get right. Somebody said to me, why won't this person get saved? They're not to the point that they're sick and tired of where they're at. Why won't people heed the Word of God and change? Because they do not want to change. They are not sick and tired of their sin. Nobody is going to change until they get sick and tired of where they are. But when they do, the Bible is profitable for correction. It'll tell you how to get right. It'll show us a change to remedy. It'll tell us how to get it right. People don't want to hear people preach, men preach the Word of God because they don't want to admit it. They don't want to get right. I quit worrying myself over people that's not doing right. Because I've come to this conclusion, they're only going to get right when they get sick and tired of their situation. That's it. Till they're tired of wallowing in their sin. Until they get to the place that they realize this life is not profitable. But it's profitable for correction. It'll tell us how to get right. Then it's also profitable, useful for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay right. I love this book. It not only tells me what is right. It not only tells me what's not right. It not only tells me how to get right, but it tells me how to stay right. You know what we're needing today? We are needing believers. believers, Christian, that have a hunger and a desire to stay right. Yep. To me, the most devastating thing in our society today is a person that claims to be a Christian that doesn't live right and has no desire to stay right. But it's said here that it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. How to stay right? How can I, preacher, be who God wants me to be? Here's your direction. Here's your instructions, the Word of God. Open it up. It'll tell us that doing what is right, just, and godly. You and I have a responsibility today as the children of God to live godly lives. It is our responsibility and our duty to let the world see who Jesus Christ really is. And you can't do it unless you're going to open this book, study this book, and live by this book. It's not a choice. It's a demand. It's just like if you're going to make a chocolate cake, you can't use vanilla cake mix. If you're going to have a chocolate cake, it better not come out white. You may fool some people to believe it's chocolate. But what I'm saying is you've got to have the right ingredients. Well, you know what? To live right and to stay right, we got to have the right ingredients. And what is it? It's the Word of God. Open it and see what it says. A Christian who studies the Bible and applies what he learns will grow in holiness and avoid many pitfalls in the world. Let me read that again. There's two parts of this statement that really jumps out. A Christian who studies and applies what he learned will grow in holiness and avoid many pitfalls in the world. Why do we have so many people who claim to be saved? They're up today and down tomorrow. They're in today and they're out tomorrow. Because they do not open the Word of God. They do not study the Bible. And if they do, they do not apply what they learn. And without that, there's going to be no growth in holiness or righteousness. Brenda had a book the other day and showed it to me about a study for new converts. And one of the things in that book, and I've said it over and over and over, they said the reason there's lack of growth in Christians' lives is because there's a lack of faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Word of God, faithfulness to God Himself, and faithfulness to the church. A lack of growth. And because of that, many people are continually falling into pitfalls, into sin in the world. But not only is it profitable for instruction, look at verse 17. It says that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. It's profitable for equipping us, not just me, us, for service. Did you know God has a service for you? God has a job for you. You say, but I thought only preachers were the only ones that were responding. No. Brother Doug told me this morning, said, sometimes I convince myself I don't have to do right all the time because my preacher don't do right all the time. I said, don't use me as your level. But it's profitable, it's useful for equipping us for service. Some people say, I don't know the will of God. Why don't you know it? Because you don't open the book. You don't ask God, God, show me what you want me to do. but it's profitable for equipping. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Notice in this verse, there's two words that really stand out and very important. It said they're the man of God. And what it's talking about there, it's not just talking about preachers. It's talking about the children of God may be perfect. And that word perfect does not have to do with sinless perfection. You will drive yourself crazy if you try to live a sinless life. You can't do it. We are to live as close to God as we can, as much like Him as we can. And I am not giving you an excuse to commit sin. I do believe people can live a day without sin. But that word perfect means complete. This Bible was given to us that we might be complete. We might be in fit shape. We might be in fit condition. It implies being fit for use. This Bible will teach us what's right, what's wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. And when we get that, then we are fit for service. I have not said this in a long time, but let me say it. God never has and never will use a garbage can for His service. God's not going to use people that are living in sin every day for His service. But it makes us fit for usage. Then the second word is thoroughly furnished. And it simply means equipped for service. God is going to give us everything we need to do His will. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot supply. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot supply. The Word of God furnishes and equips a believer so that he can live a life that pleases God and do the work of God that's wanted, or let me read it, and do the work God wants him to do. The better we know the Word, the better we are able to live and work for God. It will equip us. Then let me close with this one. It's a life-changing book. Romans 1:16 said, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Nobody will get saved outside or apart from the Word of God. Fables and fairy tales won't get it done, because the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. 1 Peter 1:18-19 said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." How do you know that it takes the blood? Because I opened the book. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Repent or perish. Believe in the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth not is condemned already. It's a life-changing book. Why did my life change? Because I heard a man preach the Word of God, and the Word of God convicted me of sin. Let me give you two examples. One is from the Word of God, Paul the Apostle. I'll give you two things about Paul real quick. In the beginning, Paul was a church destroyer. He went about trying to tear down the church, destroy the church, put the church out of business. But he met the living Word, Jesus Christ, and he became a church planner. You're talking about life-changing. He went from a demolition group to a building group. He went from a destroyer to a planner, to a builder. What happened? The word of God got Paul. Then let me give you another man. He writes to me my favorite song, and his name is John Newton. John Newton wrote to me one of the greatest hymns, if not the greatest hymn ever written, Amazing Grace. We sing it about every service. Does it get old? No, it reminds me of where I was and where I am today. But it also tells me where I'm going and what I'm going to be. Notice John Newton. John Newton was a slave boat captain. He was a captain of boats transporting slaves. He was a God denier. They said he'd get out on the bow of the boat and say, God, if you're real, strike me dead. You say, why didn't God do it? Because he had a praying mama. You know why some of you are not in the grave today? Why I'm not in the grave today before we got saved? Because we had a praying mama. Somebody prayed for me. No doubt about it. Somebody prayed for me. From when I was a child till I was an adult. I had Sunday school teachers pray for me. I had preachers pray for me. I had loved ones pray for me. John Newton had a praying mama, but he was a God denier. But then he became a hymn writer. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. John wrote about being wretched, but then being changed. He talked about being lost and then being found. He taught about being taught how to reverence God, and that's what that word fear is there. How do we learn to reverence God? By opening the Word of God. It's life-changing. But not only did he become a hymn writer, he became a preacher of the gospel. How in the world can a man that denies God become a preacher? Open the book. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Read it. Let me give you this and I'm closing. Men die, but the Word of God lives. Experiments fade, but the Word of God remains. The world grows darker, but the prophetic lie shines brighter. He who builds his life on the Word of God and who looks for the coming of the Savior is not likely to be led astray by false teachers. He will be taught by the Spirit and grounded on the sure Word of God. A sleeping church, a sleeping home, and an idle mind is the devil's playground. Let us stand. I challenge you. Are you opening up the Word of God every day? Are you opening up the Word of God and allowing God to speak to your heart and make you who He wants you to be and equip you with what you need to be there? Today and you say, preacher, I struggle. I challenge you, open the book. Not only open it, not only read it, but heed it. You need to come today. I ask you to come. A closed Bible will do you no good. You can own 100 closed Bibles. Never become who God wants you to be. It's not how many Bibles you own. It's how many times you open the Bible. Brother Robert plays. I invite you to come. You want to get right? Open the book. You want to stay right? Open up the Word. to know the will of God for your life, open up the book.